Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from David Lindell, West Campus Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Welcome. Glad you're in church this morning. A great day to be in the house of God. Welcome to those who are watching online, those who are viewing at the West Campus and then the North Campus. It's just good to be in church today, especially on such a big day in the life of the church. This is a day that is absolutely critical for us as a church because of the scale and the scope of what God has for us to be a part of in spreading the good news of the gospel and seeing people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we talk about what a big day for us this is in the life of the church, it's helpful to put that in context just in terms of the church calendar. Because on Christmas weekend, Easter weekend, you know, James River Christmas, those are weekends that we get really intentional in a big way about inviting people in from the area, people who we do life with, whether it's at work, in neighborhoods, people that we know, extending an invitation, and even people we don't know, and inviting them to come to be a part of that weekend with us. And we see hundreds of people meet Jesus. It's absolutely amazing. And so those are big weekends for us. And then 2 weeks ago, we had Vision Sunday. And for us, Vision Sunday is another big weekend because on that day, we hear where God is taking us as a church, what he has in front of us, what he's got for us. But we also are hearing what he has for us as individuals and people, where he wants us to step out, where he wants your family to step out, where he's calling you in the next year. And so Vision Sunday is big. But on Mission Sunday, we literally touch the world. I don't know if you came in with that frame of thinking, but today we have the opportunity to touch the world. And God has allowed us to be, through what he's done in the church and through you in the last year, in 2017, extraordinary things have happened. In fact, I want you to grab your Mission Sunday brochure. It was on your seat when you came in. Would you go ahead and pick that up? And when you open it up, what you're going to find is kind of a detailing of what God did through us in 2017. And it's broken down in several categories. And the first category you see on there is mission support. So you gave over $2.3 million to support missionaries in the United States and around the world. We support 180 missionaries in the United States, so that whether it be on a college campus setting, different areas of the country, some are working with refugees in the United States, but we're getting behind 180 missionaries to spread the gospel in the United States of America. In addition to that, we support 333 missionaries around the globe in other parts of the planet. And we want to be about sending people to share the gospel, to share the good news, even in places that are very difficult, where there's persecution in closed countries, that we are sending funds to support the spread of the good news and that the name of Jesus is being preached and lives are being transformed. It's absolutely incredible. Then the next place you go to in those categories is missions trips. These are self-funded trips that are happening. You've got a trips card on your seat to let you know where we'll be going in 2018, where people are funding their own way, paying their own way to go on these trips. The church sends a pastor to lead the trip, maybe supplies that are needed for the trip or the project that they're doing. So that totaled $193,736. And then the next item on the card is missions projects. So this, you gave over $1.1 million to missions projects in different ways, different places. So this would be our church planting efforts. So in 2017, we are part of funding 20 church plants across the United States. And just on day one, so just to give you a sense of the impact of what you're a part of, on day one, in those 20 churches, there were 3,000 people in attendance and 121 people made decisions to follow Jesus. Just one Sunday. That's incredible. We need to celebrate what God's doing. And so you think about that, but then you add up, you know, whether we are part of clinics or medical equipment or even building church buildings. God is doing profound things, and so that all comes to over $1.1 million in missions projects. And then the final thing on there is One Child Matters. So as a church, families in the church, individuals in the church are sponsoring over 1,600 children in Ethiopia and in Haiti. Becky and I sponsor two children. And so this is people in the church saying, hey, we want to help kids in need. And so this is feeding them, this is education, and this is sharing the gospel, coming to over $750,000 in child sponsorships, which means that in 2017, James River Church, that's you, gave over $4.4 million to missions. That's worth celebrating. What God is doing through the church is absolutely spectacular. And now, today, and we're doing it a little bit different this time around, today we're going to be talking about home missions, what we're doing, what we have the opportunity to be a part of in the United States. And then next week, we'll expand our perspective to what God is allowing us to be a part of in terms of foreign missions around the planet. But in order to frame our thinking, because really the primary thrust of what we're going to be a part of in 2018 is establishing new churches, planting churches across the United States. We're going to have the opportunity to be a part of 21 new church plants in the United States. But to frame our thinking and to kind of set the tone, I want to take you to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, where we get a sense of what God is doing in the world and how the kingdom of God not only advances, but how we are a part of its advance in the world. Matthew chapter 16, Matthew says this, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Who do people say that I am?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" Then you go down to the next verse, verse 18. "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What happens in this conversation right here is that in verse 16, in response to Jesus' query of the disciples, Peter makes this confession and this declaration that is the foundational truth of all Christianity. He says, Jesus is, who's Jesus? What is his identity? He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And in response to that declaration of faith, in response to that confession, Jesus makes a radical promise. He says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And within this radical promise, Jesus tells us, gives us three truths about the church. And the first truth he gives us is that the church is established through Jesus' people. The church is established through Jesus' people, which may make you kind of pause and go, well, wait a second. Jesus said, I will build. So what do you mean it's established through Jesus' people? How does Jesus, you're right, Jesus said, "I will build my church." But how is Jesus building his church? Well, the church is people. Jesus is building his church with people. Yet not only is he building his church with people, he is also building his church through people. We know that because when Jesus, after his death, his resurrection, yet before his ascension into heaven, he's talking to the disciples. He's mobilizing them, as it were, for mission. And he's cluing them in as to how the promise of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 gets fulfilled. And in Matthew 28, verse 19, he says to them, therefore, go. In other words, you go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And behold, and surely, I think it should say behold. It's the Bible. We'll just go with what the Bible says. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus says, how is the church going to be built? It's going to be built through you. I'm going to build the church through you. I'm going to mobilize you for mission. And that is how the church is going to be built. You know, and the church is being built. It's being built through you. And how is it being built through you? It's being built through your praying. That when we gather for prayer on Wednesday nights for the prayer meeting, the church is being established through Jesus' people. As we call on God, as we pray, as we call on God for the events that are coming up, as we call on God for the lost, as we ask Him to do something mighty in our midst, the church is being built. It's being built through your serving. When you go through the grow track, when you jump on a dream team, when you start making your life about more than yourself, and you start saying, hey, I'm going to focus with an outward gaze. How can I serve? How can I put the gifts that God has given me to use for the blessing of people and the expanding of God's kingdom? The church is being built. It's being built through your inviting. When you extend an invitation to somebody and say, hey, come with me. Sit with me in church. I'll meet you. I'll buy you a cup of coffee. We'll sit together. The church is being built. The church is being built when you tell the story of what God has done in your life, how He's changed you, how He's transformed you. The church is being built through your giving. When you tithe, when you step out in faith and say, I want to be a part. I want to worship the Lord with my giving. The church is being built. When you say, you know what? I'm going to go. The church is being built. You know, one of the great quotes by pastor and author Rick Warren is he says, find out what God is doing and be a part of it. That our responsibility as believers is to go, okay, what is God doing and how can I jump in and be a part? And something that we heard about, what God is doing, what is He doing? How can you be a part? How can you go in 2018? Well, on Vision Sunday, we announced, 2 weeks ago, we announced the launch of a new James River Church campus in Joplin, Missouri. It's so exciting, cannot wait to see what God does. And not only did we announce a new James River Church campus, but we clued you in as to who the campus pastors are. And actually, right now, I want to invite Justin and Elise Jahancher to come up on stage. Would you give them a big round of applause? You welcome them up here. The new James River Church Joplin campus pastors. So good. And baby Adeline. Come on now. The baby has a big bow. So some of you are not, maybe you're not as familiar with who Justin and Elise are, but Justin and Elise are on the pastoral team here. They're part of our life group staff. Justin's actually the life group's pastor over at the West Campus. So the people over at the West Campus are more familiar with Justin than maybe you are here or at the North Campus. So I thought maybe we could start by just you taking a moment to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about that last name.
Absolutely. Well, we are Justin and Elise Jahancher. This is our beautiful baby girl, Adeline, 7 months old, but just amazing to be here. And yeah, our last name, a lot of people don't put it together, like, weird last name, Caucasian skin, how does this play out? But it is Persian, and my dad is from Iran. He was actually born and raised there, came up in a Muslim home, and moved to America when he was 18 years old to go to school. But really, in those first years he was here, became very formative for him as some significant things happened. The first being that he met my mom and married her, and then they began to meet Christians, and through their interactions, ended up meeting Christ. And so my dad became the very first Muslim in his home to become a Christian. Wow. After moving here to America. So now they learned that they were unable to have children, so I'm actually adopted, which explains that last name. Elise is adopted as well. But you know, when I think about my adoption story, I like to say that it's one of the first miracles God did in my life, because all of my biological family, almost all of them, are either in prison today or they're dead because of overdose in drug and alcohol addiction. And I have no reason to believe I wouldn't have also gone down that course of life had God not have rescued me out of that situation and then put me in a home where I would know Christ.
So
totally different way my life went. And so...
So God, you know, God did that miracle in through your adoption, the miracle in your dad's life. From really, talk to us about, like, how did you get called into ministry? What did that path look like, that journey look like for you?
Well, I did what you're not supposed to do, and I asked God not to make me a pastor. That's how it started. I had a passion for business. I went to business school. I got my MBA, and I was working. My goal was to start my own business, and I had an audacious goal to make $1 million by the time I was 30. Just surpassed 30, still a million short of that goal. But... really was working for a great business, but felt a stirring in my heart that God was pulling me into full-time ministry. And so as I was praying through that, ended up having a conversation with Elise's father about seminary and what that might look like. He introduced me to the idea of the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary here in Springfield, Missouri, which was just not part of my plan. I thought, no, I'm in Springfield, Illinois. I've been born and raised here. There's no reason to leave. I'm comfortable here. But just felt like God calling me to something more. And in fact, I remember when he said, Justin, if you will trust me and if you will move to Springfield, Missouri, I will multiply back the blessing into your life. And that was enough for me to, in 2011, move from Springfield, Illinois and to Springfield, Missouri. And it's been an amazing journey since then.
So you're part of the pastoral team here from the move by faith to Springfield. How did you then become part of the pastoral team at James River Church?
Well, again, my plan upon moving here, there was no doubt that we were going to attend James River Church because I'd actually been listening to Pastor John on the podcast for years, really looked at him as a mentor from a distance. And so we're like, we're going to be at James River Church. We got involved. I actually started an internship here. But my plan was to learn as much as possible and then go plant a church in another city. And so when we were asked to join staff, I'm like, hey, that's awesome, but that's not my plan. I'm gonna go plant a church. But again, the Lord just really challenged us as we were praying through that decision and really called us to take a step of faith and say, I put that in your heart, but that's not for right now. Yeah. You're supposed to take this position. And so we did that. And it's been an amazing 4.5 years. But what we didn't realize was God was preparing us to plant a church, but it was just far better than we could ask or imagine, because now we're planting a James River Church in Joplin, Missouri. And so what God put in our heart to do, he is in fact doing.
Yeah. But you guys just built a house, right?
We built a house. We've been in it for 14 months of bliss. It's been awesome. But, you know, as we've processed even the decision to move at the start of it, we're like, we will not let a house, we will not let comfort, we will not let anything get in the way of what God wants to do. Our lives are about him and building his kingdom. And so that's been an easy decision to say, we're going to go and plant this church. And honestly, over the last couple weeks, the stories that are coming from people saying, we have been feeling for either months or some have said over a year that God was preparing us for something big. And we heard about the Joplin campus and we knew that that's what he's been preparing us for. So we're getting our house ready to sell and we're going to move to Joplin with you. So amazing to watch what God is doing.
So cool. Would you give Justin and Elise a big round of applause? That's awesome. And if you want to connect with them here at the South Campus, at the close of the service, they'll be out at the Joplin Campus booth. But I'd ask you to do this. Would you grab your Joplin Campus card, James River Church, Joplin Campus right there on the front. And the reality is this, that some people on Vision Sunday, God began stirring your heart concerning how you would be a part of what he's doing, what he's up to, not only in the church, but in the city of Joplin. And the reality is this, that for many, that sense has only grown. That God has positioned you, however that may be, to be a part of this new campus. And so for some, that's 90 days. For some, that might be 6 months. For some, that may be a year where you say, hey, I'm going to drive. We'll be there on Sundays and on Wednesdays to help the campus get established. And yet for others, God is stirring you to move and to be a part of the campus. There are some, and you're watching online this morning, and you're from the tri-state area. You know, you're from northeast Oklahoma or southeast Kansas, or you're from the greater Joplin area. And when we talk about Joplin, we're talking about a city. If you do a 10-mile radius around the city, it's 100,000 people. And if you expand that to the greater Joplin area, you're talking about 250,000 people who live in that area. Tens of thousands of people are lost. Tens of thousands of people don't have a church home of any kind. And so, huge opportunity for us as a church and for you as God is speaking to your heart to say, hey, I want to be a part of this. And so, on this card, we're going to have an interest meeting this afternoon over at the West Campus from 3 to 4. But I would encourage you, don't wait till then to fill this out. And we're going to have hosts at the doors as we leave later today. And you can take your card that you filled out, whatever you've marked on there, and drop it in the bucket as you leave. You can head over to the Joplin campus if you've got questions. You want those to get answered. But God's hand, God's favor has been on this since the very beginning. We have watched God go before us. We've watched him speak to us. We've watched him set his hand on conversations with Justin and Elise as we've looked for a place to meet and we found one. God's hand is just, he's just, grace is saturated. As we talked to pastors in the Joplin area, told them what God had put in our heart, the faith and the enthusiasm and the welcoming that we received, just so amazing. And as God has helped a group coalesce around this campus, that's been awesome too. God is doing something. God is at work. God is moving. God is speaking to people. And so if God is speaking to you, jump in. Say, God, I'm all in. God, I believe that you are establishing your church and you want to establish it through me and you're going to do something big. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and he's building it through people. Not only though does Jesus say that, but also we find out he says, I will build my church. The church is not only established through Jesus' people, the church is known by Jesus' presence. It's known by Jesus' presence. In other words, Jesus is the very lifeblood of the church. Jesus' presence flows through the veins of the church. And the best entity on planet Earth for introducing people to Jesus is the local church. In fact, missiologist Peter Wagner, he taught for a number of years at Fuller Theological Seminary. He said this, and I think it's really powerful to frame our thinking. The single most effective evangelistic methodology under heaven is planting new churches. You know what Jesus said? I will build my church. He didn't say, I will build my school. He didn't say, I will build my hospital. He didn't say, I will build my clinic. He didn't say, I will build my social service agency. As important and as needed as all of those are, what Jesus promised to do with absolute authority is he said, I will build my church. And this is the impetus. It's that promise and the authority behind that promise that has been the impetus for our push toward church planting in and around the United States for the last several years. So, you know, we think of a church like Summit Park. In 2013, we began this push towards church planting, and we had planted churches before that, but with a new intensity, and planted Summit Park Church in Lee Summit, Missouri. And just to give you a sense of what God has done out of that church plant, this year, through Summit Park, God has done really extraordinary, extraordinary things. So that I'm going to get these numbers right. In 2017, 530 people made decisions to follow Jesus at Summit Park. That is so cool. So cool. 115 people were baptized at Summit Park. And then when you think about what happened at Easter, on Easter there were 2,205 people in attendance over the Easter weekend. Jesus is building his church, which is so incredible. So incredible. But the church is not only established through Jesus' people and known by Jesus' presence, It's also invincible because of Jesus' power. That's a good word. It's invincible because of Jesus' power. How do we know? What does Jesus say? Go back to verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is Jesus saying there? What does he mean by that? He means that the church cannot be contained. The church cannot be bound. The church cannot be boxed in. The church cannot be prevented from expanding. The church possesses, because of Jesus' presence and the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, the church possesses a power that makes it invincible, even to the powers of hell. Jesus is building his church. And the church is continuing to advance. The church is continuing to expand. The church is continuing to reach the lost. And yet, to hear some people talk about it, in fact, I heard somebody last week on the radio pontificating about the death of the church in the United States of America. You know, as more, you know, fewer and fewer Christians among the general population. We hear that so often, we begin to believe it. But in an article, very encouraging article, published by The Federalist, in January of this year, Glenn Stanton, who's the author of the article, he cites some research done by Baylor University's Institute for Religious Studies. And here's what he cites from that study. He says, they found that the percentage of church-attending Americans relative to the overall population, that's important, relative to the overall population, is more than four times greater today than it was in 1776. So everybody wants to talk about, oh, how many Christians there were in America at the founding of the nation. More than four times greater today relative to the overall population. The number of attendees has continued to rise each and every decade over our nation's history, right up into the present day. The church is alive and well. Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell are not prevailing against it. Jesus is building the church. And you watch the way that the church is advancing. The way that the church is advancing today through the establishing of new churches is the same way that the church advanced in the New Testament. You follow the journeys of the Apostle Paul, and as he is working his way through, whether it's in Berea or Iconium or Lystra or Derbe or Philippi or Thessalonica or Corinth or Ephesus, in every one of those places, he establishes a church, and it is the church that fuels the spread of the gospel. He establishes churches, and the great need in America today is the establishing of new churches. You think of all that God is doing. We talked about the 20 churches that we were a part of establishing last year. You know, we talked about how many people were saved on day one. But that's not the whole story, obviously. You think about the church that we are part of planting in Los Angeles. Not only are they doing church, not only are people being saved, but they've gotten so strong now that they're establishing a food bank in South Central Los Angeles to feed the homeless and the hungry. Jesus is building his church. You think about another church that we were a part of planting. They've grown so much that they're no longer able to be at a mobile location. And this year, they're breaking ground on a new facility. Jesus is building his church. God is doing some really incredible things. And as he's building his church, what we have to do, what you have to do at the West Campus, what you have to do at the North Campus, if you're watching online, every one of us has to say, how am I a part of what God is doing? How am I stepping in? How am I being a part of Jesus' kingdom advancing and people hearing the good news of the gospel? Am I telling people about Jesus? Am I extending an invitation? Am I taking seriously Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 28? Go therefore to all the nations. Am I going in my community? Am I going in my neighborhood? Am I praying for missionaries? Am I praying for the church to advance in countries where there's persecution and there's closure to the gospel? And yet, even in the midst of that hardship, God is doing something amazing in so many places. You know, am I giving? Am I passionate about missionaries only, or am I passionate and I'm backing up that passion with supply? And saying, God, here, take what I have and multiply it so that more people than ever before meet Jesus, so that when I arrive in heaven one day, I find myself meeting people that I never knew on this planet, that I never knew in my time on this earth, but they acknowledge when they see me, hey, because you gave, God works through your giving so that I could hear the gospel, so that I could be here with you today. Wow. That I meet people in heaven that are there because God worked through my giving to do a miracle to transform their hearts so that they might hear the gospel, respond to it, and follow Jesus. Am I sending others? You know, we have the opportunity in 2018 to be a part of establishing 21 new churches across the United States. I want to pull up a map and show you 15 of those locations. Places like West Hartford, Connecticut, Chicago, Illinois, Del Rapids, South Dakota, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, two churches going in Nashville, Queen Creek, Arizona, Oakland, California, which is really a forgotten city, establishing a new church in Oakland, California, Panama City, Florida, Naples, Florida, Washington, D.C., establishing new churches. And then when we zoom in from this map, that's 15 of the churches, an additional six in southern Missouri, in South County, St. Louis, Overland, Missouri, St. Anne, Missouri, Eureka, Missouri, Ferguson, Missouri, and in Joplin, Missouri, a new James River Church campus, which is so cool. And as we talk about this, so exciting. As we talk about what it's going to take to get these churches off the ground, we have the opportunity to provide funding. Each of these churches is going to cost no less than $15,000. But really, when we talk about $15,000 for each one of these church plants, talk about what that does. We're providing matching funds. Some of these churches are going to cost more, some are going to cost less, but no less than $15,000. And the recognition here is this, that some of you, You are connected with one of these cities. You know people from there. You've got family there. You went to school there. You grew up there. And for some in this room, you could say, you know what? I could be a part of that. I would get behind that. I want to be a part of funding the church plant in, I want to be a part of funding the one in Ferguson, Missouri. I want to be a part of funding the one in Oakland, California. I'm going to write a check for $15,000 to get behind that. There are some, and you're connected to two of those areas. So you would say, you know what? I'm going to write a check for $30,000. If you can do that, you should. What an amazing opportunity to be a part in providing matching funds so that as these churches get established, the church planter has what they need to reach into those cities, reach into those communities. The reality is the Joplin, as we establish the Joplin campus, you know, and plant that campus in Joplin, Missouri, the recognition is it's going to cost more than $15,000. And just to put it in a little perspective, when we planted Summit Park Church, we gave Scott and Jen and to help get the church off the ground, $350,000 to establish Summit Park Church. So in certain parts of the country, churches are going to take more to establish depending on the ministry and depending on how many people they're starting with. We get that, but it's going to take at least $15,000. And so we're providing those matching funds. We're stepping out in faith. Some of you as a life group, you're going to say, we're going to get behind funding a church plant. We're going to get together and we're going to make that our life group project to do that as our combined faith promise amount. But don't let what somebody else can do keep you from doing what God's calling you to do. I don't know what God's calling you to do. I just know that he's speaking to the hearts of people, just like he's spoken to my heart today. He's speaking to people at every campus, and he's setting something before you that is no doubt bigger than you. And if it's not bigger than you, then it's probably not God. Because he's a big God, and you might not be able to add it all up. In fact, I would say this, that if we left it up to my, you know, if I left it up to my budget, if you left it up to your budget, if we left it up to the parameters of what we could give, what we can give when we work it out on paper, all of us would give a lot less. But the reality is we're inviting God into our finances, and Mission Sunday is all about inviting God into our giving and saying, God, it's not about what I can do. It's about what you would do through me. And that's what God wants us to do, to position ourselves in a place that says, God, I believe you're going to do something bigger through me than I could ever do on my own.